Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
As a cardiologist and a chef, Dr. Michael Fenster has combined his culinary talents with cutting-edge medical expertise and insight. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.
All clear. It is time for culinary CPR. We've got some certified professional recipes here on Code Delicious with Dr. Mike and the incomparable, amazing Chef Luca Paris. I am actually, again, incredibly honored that he's joining us. Chef Luca is award-winning chef. He's a restaurateur. He's Food Network famous. But unlike a lot of the Food Network celebrities you'll meet, Chef Luca can actually cook. And he has taken it upon himself to prepare for us a special recipe. And if you go to cardiochef.com, if you did not get your staff meal, the Society to Always Procure Healthfully newsletter in your mailbox this morning, just sign up on our email list and you can get that. And ahead of time, each week, you'll get some insight into our culinary CPR segment. You'll get Luca's recipe. You'll get sort of my take on some of the items and things that we're going to talk about. So you're always ahead of the game. Don't forget to go ahead and sign up. Do that while you're listening right now if you don't have the recipe in front of you. This week, we're going to be talking about a recipe that I've already made it about three times, and you are absolutely going to love it. Kingfish rum glazed grilled shrimp. And that's not all. Wait, there's more. Over corn salad with a cilantro mint dressing. And yum, yum, yum. Take it away, chef. I've got to clean up the salivation here. So tell us a little about the recipe here.
What's up, Doc Mike? I'm honored to be on the show. We're going to have a lot of fun. And it's what this segment's about. And anytime you're going to have me on, we're going to be talking about a recipe, work it through, and really come up with why it's good for you. But more importantly, that it tastes good. And that's the thing that with you, I've always got this kind of kismet about. It's food has to taste good, too, not just be healthy. So that's what we're doing. And I'll run through this recipe, get you started, and we'll talk about some of the segments in it. And it's a marinated shrimp, real simple. And for the marinade, what we're going to do is about 24 jumbo shrimp, shelled, deveined, about a pound and a half, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of lime juice, garlic clove, salt, and fresh ground pepper. And that's the marinade with the shrimp. Now, the shrimp I buy are usually, they can be frozen. If it says wild caught, that's the way you want to go with shrimp. You could see if there's some fresh
shrimp. Well, absolutely. And you bring up a great point. Number one, this is incredibly flavorful, folks. And here's the genius of you, Luca. It's simple. And, you know, so many times I see folks who want to get in the kitchen and they kind of want to impress a little bit. And I think, you know, I remember when I started in the kitchen, when I kind of got my culinary degree and I was like, I got to impress these people. You were probably much more mature out of the box than I was.
I don't know.
You know, it's like, let me show you all the things I can do. But, you know, you got to let the ingredients speak for themselves, right?
Well, without a doubt. I think sometimes we have to get, I always say, get out of the way. Let the food decide what it's going to be. If you're going to buy good shrimp, don't cover it up because the flavor on the shrimp is going to be amazing. And the marinade needs to be simple. If you want to add a little spice here or there, that's one thing. But I kind of call it lazy cooking because I feel if you get good ingredients, you don't have to try too hard. And it'll all come out in the end correctly.
And these good ingredients, you know, these are what make the difference in terms of whether it's a healthful meal or not. So let's start with simply discussing our main ingredient, the shrimp. And like you, I'm all about the wild caught. Why? Because if you get farm shrimp from some country, now remember, folks, the country of origin labeling law is gone. Okay, the government has taken that away. That's the politics in the food. We may not know at all where this shrimp came from. So if you have a fishmonger and you could say, hey, Steve, where did this come from? Well, hey, Doc, you know, that was off the coast of Key West yesterday. My supplier got them. You know, they're fresh. Those are the kind of relationships you want to have. If you don't know where it comes from and it's farmed, that can actually change the types of fats in it, the composition of the fat. There can be all sorts of impurities. So you are can actually be getting something that may not be healthful, but may actually negatively impact your health.
And you and I have talked, too, about just the flavor difference, you know, and we could come from it from both angles. The thing about it, if you go and find one of these farm shrimps that you'll find in bags in the freezer, you know, you're gonna find a lot of everything is going to be frozen pretty much, even most of the wild caught, unless you can, if you're closer down to Florida, you can get fresher stuff, and it's great. Up here, now I'm up in the Northeast, not always available, but you get the good quality. But when you put them side by side, not only are you going to look at them and they look completely different, but one's going to be almost biting into the closest thing that you're going to have to a lobster that's not a lobster, a really good succulent shrimp that just has tons of flavor. And the other one is going to taste like water, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to look like a shrimp, you know, and but when you put them side by side, you're marvel at the flavor difference. And that's when you start with a good ingredient like that, everything else works. And even the way you cook it, it all works out. So, yeah, I totally agree with you with that.
And you know, I want to, yeah, and you know, and that's what I love, too, is that when we talk about this approach to healthful eating, whole foods, real foods, authentic foods, we get rewarded for it because we get these incredible flavors. And, you know, if you've been going through the fast food place, you know, and getting the deep fried shrimp, you haven't had a shrimp. So you've had, you know, Chef Lucas. Exactly. You know, and, you know, I want to talk a little bit. We'll go on and talk a little bit about the marinade because to me really set an important composition of recipe construction, and that's sort of the flavor profile. So why don't you take it away and tell us what we need to put in the glaze.
All right, so when we do the glaze, and then I'll go through the ingredients, but then I'll talk about how you put it together. It's really simple. Brown sugar, about a half cup, and for people that are getting that, they'll see all the measurements, but we'll go through it. Stick of unsalted butter, silver rum. Now, I use Kingfish because that's actually a rum that's distilled locally about 15 minutes from my restaurant. And I absolutely love it. They're new friends of mine. Dijon mustard, champagne vinegar, about a tablespoon, quarter teaspoon of black pepper, and a pinch of salt. And this is the glaze that all goes into a pan and cooks down. And in 5 to 8 minutes, you have this rich, creamy consistency, syrupy mixture that really doesn't take too long to make. And you're just cooking it down and cooking all those flavors together. Real simple marinade. Glaze. Yeah.
And I want to answer a question. So, folks, you can call in to the station and give us leave us some questions. That number is 877-711-5211. You can also tweet your questions to me at WCWD. And I want to answer a question from Leslie tweeting us, and she wants to know. And boy, they're putting me to task right away here. How can you call this healthy if you got sugar in the recipe? Great question, Leslie. So I want to answer that real quick. And you notice one of the things that Chef put in here was dark brown sugar. So we're not talking about the white refined powders. We're talking about what I call sweeteners with redemption. So black molasses, any kind of molasses, is right. A component of the dark brown sugars. And so that's a great source of trace elements and minerals, things like magnesium, manganese. So we are adding a little sugar, and we don't want to live a life without sugar. You know, you can have a little bit. When we want to use those sweeteners, we want to use sweeteners of redemption. Like honey, like the dark sugars, like the unfiltered turbinado type sugars, a little raw, unprocessed, that have at least some benefit in there. And I think the other important thing is that this is a glaze. This is not a soup. Right. So we're just going to be getting a little bit on there. The amount of sugar that you're eating in the context of this whole meal is minuscule, but it's an important flavor component.
Doc, and one of the cool things you could do is substituting with the brown sugar. You mentioned honey. We have a lot of local bee growers around here, or bee keepers. And if you had local honey you added to this, not only you're getting something local, but it's you know where it's coming from. That's a great addition to this as well. It's going to give you that sweetness. But, I mean, how much better does it get than having honey, I guess, right?
Well, you know, I love the what you built here. And when folks often ask me, well, how do I get started? You know, I haven't gone to culinary school. I haven't cooked professionally, but, you know, I want to get in the kitchen and I want to start building some of these recipes. Hey, I want to do this kingfish rum glazed grilled shrimp. Sounds awesome. I want to do this today. You know, what am I doing? I always tell them, you know, at the beginning, if you're not comfortable, stick with the recipe because it's giving you a certain flavor profile. And right. I got to tell you, maybe it was in the name kingfish, but boy, this recipe just smacked to me of the Caribbean, you know, and the tropics. And I'm a dark rum guy. So I took a little poetic license and used the dark rum, which, of course, has, you know, just an incredible flavor melding with the brown sugar and those other flavors.
Right. You bring in that molasses notes already in the rum. Yep. I mean, it just screams. Yeah.
And I added just a little tinge of allspice because, you know, it is, if you're not in the tropic areas, you might be somewhere it's a little bit cooler and you want a little bit of that tropical feel. And as you said, you know, once you get comfortable with it, then you can build on those flavor profiles and incorporate what you and your family or your guests really care for. You know, but for the beginning, you know, stick with what in Japan we would call in the martial arts dojo, we would call the honwaza. Learn the basic technique because I find and tell me what you think, Chef, but, you know, I find sometimes if you try to vary and you don't really know the basic, you kind of screw it up and then you say, well, you know, this recipe really wasn't any good anyway. And you really got to kind of understand the basics of building flavor profiles before you do the varying.
And I totally agree with that. I think when I teach people that are cooking for the first time, I teach them something as simple as a chicken francais, which is lemon butter wine. And, you know, that process of creating that sauce with the chicken and creating it the right way is not, I'm not teaching them the recipe. I'm teaching them why we build this way and how you season between each part of this. And I think that's the most important thing you could teach someone with a recipe. Follow it through, go through it a couple of times the way it is. And you know, there's a reason why we put them down on paper. But at the same time, once you've developed the technique, there's nothing you can't do. It's almost like they say to everybody, if you give a person a fish, you feed them for the day, you teach them how to fish, you feed them for life. If you give a person a recipe, you teach them that dish, but if you teach them the technique or they get the technique, they can make anything without trying. And that's the cool thing about cooking.
And I agree with you, you know, 110%. And in fact, you know, what I'd said, we had a culinary RX for professionals. So we had healthcare professionals and culinary professionals, culinary instructors at the same class last summer, learning didactically a lecture together and then getting into a kitchen classroom together, and docs and nurses and dietitians, nutritionists helping, you know, chefs with some of the scientific material, and chefs showing them actually how to hold a knife and keep all your digits when you're in the kitchen. You know, so that exchange was great. But, you know, I told a lot of the health practitioners, I said, stop becoming a collector of recipes. Yeah. Become a cook. Become a chef. And that's exactly what you just said. When you learn, when you get the knowledge and you apply it and then learn the technique, then you don't need the recipes anymore. And really, if you go back and watch those old Julia Child, you know, black and whites, and listen to what she was teaching and what she did for generations of, I mean, I remember growing up with and watching her with my mom. So, you know, I'm a result of the Julia Child influence, you know, teaching people, you know, to do that, to learn those techniques, to get in the kitchen. As you said, I don't think there's anything you can't do.
And it's funny. And, you know, a lot of ways cooking is intuitive, where you need to feel something, but you don't get to that intuitive part. And you talked about being different when we were starting this as a career, from my point as a career in the kitchen. You can't, sometimes it's as a young chef, you think, wow, if I do all this and I'll make it taste good. And we get back to, you know, this is a whole 360 back to the original part of our conversation was sometimes less is more, but it's extremely more because you know what you're doing. You know how to layer and you know how to add flavors, and it becomes intuitive because you've done it more. Plus, it's fun, man. I love cooking.
I think the summation of it is, and I'm gonna at least date myself. I'm not dating you, chef, but I date myself. Is if anybody remembers back to like the original Indiana Jones movie, and the guy comes out and he's swinging those swords and he's going through all these gyrations and these motions, and Indiana Jones just takes his gun out and shoots him.
That's
and it's like, you know,
it,
really less was more right there. And that was the voice of wisdom and expertise. And I think that's sometimes what you have to do. And speaking of which, I don't want folks to lose out. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit, if you can, walk us through making the corn salad and this really good dressing.
So what's, again, the simplicity of the cilantro mint dressing. It's corn salad with cilantro mint dressing. We have fresh mint leaves. We have fresh cilantro, champagne vinegar. I like to bring in, you need to bring in acidity. You'll see that, you saw that in the glaze, in the marinade and in the glaze, and now you're seeing it in the dressing. That whole balance of acidity really goes a long way. We have honey in the dressing as well, salt, pepper, of course, 6 large ears of corn, and then some light or an olive oil. And basically, it's grilling the corn, getting some char marks on it. But for the dressing itself, combine the mint, the cilantro, vinegar, some of the honey, salt and pepper in a blender and blend until smooth. And then with a motor running, you're going to do this emulsification where you drizzle the olive oil into the mix and it'll start doing this emulsification, which will hold it up enough to toss with the corn. And you have the corn that's just a little bit still warm. You're going to cool it off so you could handle it more than anything. And then you have this bright, vibrant dressing, has a little bit of acidity, has the sweetness, you know, that pop of the cilantro. If you don't like cilantro, just go all mint. Go mint and parsley. That's fine. Flat parsley and mint, that's fine as well. You want to add basil and mint.
And I
got to
throw a little bit in here. If you're one of these people that can't stand cilantro, it's not your fault. It's actually a genetic inherited trait that about 20% of the population, give or take, actually it finds cilantro repulsive and abhorrent. And it's just a certain gene that folks have, and so it tastes really bad for them. And one of the original names for cilantro in Greek can be translated as bed bugs, which can emit a sort of a foul stench. And the thought is that may be actually where some of that comes from, that those folks had a aversion to cilantro, if you will. So feel free to substitute it. And also feel free to substitute if you can't get something fresh. So I was making this recipe, but I couldn't get any fresh corn. But I did have some great cornmeal, or as they say in the South, grits. If you want to pay more for it, buy a bag of polenta. It's the same stuff. And I just made a little corn cake. And to keep those same flavor profiles, I used some of the charred scallion that you'll see in the recipe. And I added a little bit of a charred sort of medium hot red pepper. And I did a bean and avocado with fresh pea shoots because I could get those and mix those with your cilantro and mint dressing and kind of put the shrimp all over that. And I got to tell you, it was absolutely, absolutely 5-star out of the world. I mean, it was you get a Michelin star for this.
I appreciate that, man. And what you did is exactly what you should take with recipes if you're used to them. You see the flavors there, you bring it in another way. I mean, I would have probably done more of that feel of a polenta underneath it and maybe I would have went straight cilantro with the polenta. I don't know, cilantro mint, I'm dying to try it now. I'm thinking about
I had that whole island. I had that whole island theme going, that little bit of allspice in there, the mint, you know, and you had that lime and the rum and man, you had me, you know, in my head, kicking back on the beach. The only thing that was missing because I was at work and I had to be on call was a margarita, but I was having one in my head. I mean, I could hear Jimmy Buffett singing to me, you know, through the food. And you absolutely can't beat that. So, and hopefully the folks will get the lessons here. And one thing I want to add before we go off the air, you may have heard that shrimp has cholesterol in it. It does. Dietary cholesterol has nothing to do with what your cholesterol levels are. If you want to know more, again, read The Fallacy of the Calorie. All the info you need is in there. And Chef, I want to thank you for being here for Culinary CPR this week. I cannot wait for our next recipe together. And this was, absolutely fantastic. Folks will be able to find the recipes on the Radio MD website, on my website, cardiochef.com. www.cpr.com if you haven't gotten it yet.